All right, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
You're welcome. The fucking best girl gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this is episode 18, Peachy Keen.
Peachy, 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 peachy. Peachy Keen. Jelly Bean.
Okay. this week... Because we had a little bit of a hiatus this last week because I went
back to school.
And we were having some feed problems, but I got it all fixed now.
Yay, we're all patched
up. So we're back, we're live, and we're bringing it to you old school style.
Aww. Yep. Wicka, 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 wah.
Yeah, don't make me beatbox. It's pretty lame, actually.
I don't think that what I just did was pretty hot, but I did it anyway.
Hey, you know, you gotta rock it, you know, like you own it, and I appreciate that, because it comes through.
Do I have to drop it like it's hot?
You have to drop it like it's hot.
Ow! How's that?
Yeah, that works. Just beware of the third degree burns, because we're all about safety, people.
Yeah.
Drop it like it's hot, but use protective mittens. When picking it back up. We don't want anybody hurt.
No.
Don't want anybody hurt. But I do have a little bit of business to attend to.
What else is new?
Yeah, I always have a little bit of business. But
I promise that... Gotta do the business before the pleasure, guys.
I will keep it as short as possible. You gotta keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, because we love having people come through. We love that you're reading our stuff, that you like it. You stop by, make comments. You could win candy or a t-shirt. I'm not saying you, but it could be you or the person sitting next to you.
Yeah. Or the guy on the bus who's got one of our shirts on already.
Yeah.
You know he's a winner.
Yeah, that guy's a winner. He's a winner at life.
But why aren't you guys winner? Because you guys don't comment enough.
Yep. You gotta comment more, because we love talking with you. And we're working on some new ways for us to be able to talk to you. I can't let it out just yet. I'm building up
hype. We can't let that cat out of the bag yet.
No, that sucker needs to be in the sack a little while longer. Just a little while longer. We gotta make sure that, you know, all the hair's all fully grown and it looks cute and everything before we... just whip it out on the
public.
What
if it's a hairless kitty?
No, it definitely has hair. I check on it in the bag every so often because I don't want to be...
What color is it?
Well, right now she's a cute little tabby color. So she's white and tan. She's so cute. But her hair's not fully like poofed out yet. But as soon as it's ready.
Kitten.
Yeah, we're gonna hit you with the cuteness.
Oh, I'm so glad that I'm behaving.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm actually really surprised because I was waiting for it.
I know, but I said, nope, not today, Panda.
And I appreciate that. You don't know how much I appreciate that. You can also hit us up on our toll-free number. It's 1-888-333-8985. It's a free call for you.
It's free love for us.
And we do enjoy the free love. We love hearing what you have to say. And if it's really funny or a really good point, we'll post it up on the website for everybody in the ESH faithful to listen to and comment. You could become a local celebrity.
Well, at least to us in ESA.
Or an international celebrity, because you know.
Or you never know. You might have friends who, you know, listen to us, and they don't know you listen to us, and then, you know, you're like, oh my god, someone named so-and-so won. They'd be like, dude, that was me. And then you're, like, popular for, like, a week.
We don't want to say that we can make you popular, but...
Well, with your friends, we might.
We can make you popular.
We could.
We
you could, totally. End up running for, student government at your school and win because you listen to us.
Yeah, we might throw endorsements people's ways.
Vote for Tommy. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. ESH says Tommy's badass. Vote for Tommy.
I don't even know what.
Don't be a punk-ass bitch. Pandalicious says.
Don't be a punk-ass bitch.
In any case, keep hitting us up on the website. Contact us via our toll-free number or use our hit us up link on the website and fill out the form and send us a question, a shout out, a suggestion. If you got a link to something that's really funny that you think that we ought to see or you just want to share.
We love when people share, except for colds.
Yeah.
And STDs. We don't like those.
I knew you couldn't keep it. All the way.
I'm sorry, Ninja. I had to say it.
I know.
We like when you share really good things, like money.
Yeah, we do like you sharing money. That's fun.
I like when people share money with me.
That's awesome. That right there.
Like that. So share the good stuff. Share the love.
You should definitely share the love. Visit our store, the Freshwear store, because if you're fresh peeps, you should be wearing fresh threads. That's all I got to say. There are links
you
there.
You should be rocking the Freshwear. Biatch!
You know where it's at. Go get it. And the last bit of business that I have is to let people know that the next episode of the podcast that we're going to do is going to be a Skype cast.
Yippee! So you know what that means, guys.
Everybody can jump on Skype, meet us up, and just
chit-chat to us
live.
Ask you can actually questions. Physically talk to us.
Be part of the Skype cast, just like Deuce and all the people who have asked us questions in our previous Skype casts. So if you want more details, just go to www.electricsisterhood.com/live, and all the information will be there on when and where and how, and, you know, bring your own Skype, and we're all good. So with that said, with that done, with that out of the way,
I hand the mic
to you, Pandalicious.
Oh, okay. Well then, guys, I know I've been a little, you know, slacking off with my posting. I'm going to apologize for that. I am going to step up on that. You know, school just started.
Don't make promises you ain't going to keep. No, oh, I'm sorry. That just jumped out my mouth. That's bad of me.
Yeah, ninja.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I'm going to step it up now that I know how my schedule works. For school, because, you know, I do the college thing. Got my learn on.
I know. You're getting all edumacated and stuff.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because I know 3 times 3 ain't 6 anymore. But anyway.
Ooh, it's not.
No, it's 9, fool.
Damn, I thought it was 8. I was only off by 1.
1. But regardless, now that I know my schedule, I'll be able to devote a good chunk of my break time to WoW and ESH.
How about we reverse that order and put it ESH and WoW?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I like that order better.
Yes, ESH and then WoW.
Even if it's a lie, it makes me feel better in my soul.
No, because I could be logged in that WoW and typing up a review at the same time. I can multitask, biatch, because I'm the panda.
All right.
But anyway.
Okay, the panda.
I'm the panda. Because I'm not a man, so I can't say I'm the man. But I'm the panda, so I can say that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Drink more Kahlua. No, I'm just kidding. No, please continue.
Back to the point. I was looking through my stuff to see what I haven't talked to any of you guys about. And sadly, I'm beginning to run out of stuff, which means I gotta go buy more.
No, that's not exactly what it means. What it means is we could, like, start, like, talking about why you like anime in the first place. We've had this conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not trying to make you broke. If you keep going out and buying anime, our mother's going to kill me because she's going to blame me.
Yes, she is. But, you know, and I realized when I went through my stuff that I was avoiding my saccharine stuff.
Oh.
Only because not too many people like the saccharine.
Dude, I love saccharine.
Well, some people don't, Ninja. Some people want blood and guts and boobies.
I like blood and guts and boobies, too. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you gotta back up off the bloody tit.
Yeah. I know this. And you know this. And some of our, you know, followers know this. But not everybody.
Not followers, because this isn't a cult. Friends. They're all our friends.
Well, our fans. They're fans. They enjoy what we do.
Yes. But they're friendly fans. Friendly friends.
Yes, very friendly friends.
And all that good stuff.
So, but I went through my saccharine, you know, collection and decided out of all of them that I would probably discuss Wedding Peach with you guys. And that's what I'm going to do.
I've never heard of this one.
Yes, because they at first, when I first, you know, got wind of it, it was on demand.
Okay.
It was 6 a.m. It was last semester, you know, and I had a half an hour before I would drive to school. So I said, let me see what's new on, you know, the anime thing. And I was like, well, this looks kind of okay. And at first, you know, the voice actor, the main character girl, her name's Momoko.
Okay.
You know, has this pink bushy hair with these bows on the side. You know, she kind of talks like this. And everything is just so wonderful all the time.
Oh, no.
Which we know in the real world is not true.
Yeah.
You know, and she lives with her dad. And her dad, you know, is a photographer. And he's always leaving, and she's always off to school, you know, and you never see a mom. And you find out her mommy is dead, or So you think.
Uh-oh.
You know,
I was about to say, because that doesn't sound very saccharine with a dead mom and a dad that's never around.
Well, listen, because everyone's got smiles on and everyone always sounds happy, even when they're saying sad things. So, you know, I think they're all on Prozac, maybe?
Oh, Prozac is so good. No, I'm sorry. Anyway,
don't do
that.
That's
another podcast.
That's another podcast.
You were going to say podcast.
I know. Anyway. Yeah, say no to prod.
Kids,
anyway.
Don't drink and record, okay? Don't drink and record. It's
anyway,
bad.
So, you know, and she's got a really good, you know, attitude about life. And she's got these two best friends. Now, mind you, she's in junior high. Though the anime style would make you believe that she was in high school.
Well, they kind of have to do that so that way people don't feel like they're a pervert when they want to bone the leading anime character.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, the high school, it's like a junior and high school. Like, there are high schoolers who are, like, around. Like, it's one of those mixed areas.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You know, so it's both a high school and junior high, but, you know, they're in the junior high section.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she and her two friends, you know, like I said, Momoko's the main, you know, main character, and she's got two friends called Yuri and Hinakaku.
Okay.
You know, and Hinakaku is like the tomboy. She's got short hair, and she does sports, and she kind of talks like a butch, sort of.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then Yuri is very elegant and refined, and her mom owns a jewelry shop.
Oh, yes.
You know, mm-hmm. And, yeah. So, you know, you've got...
Your stereotypical tomboy jock girl, your elegant, refined, you know, well-to-do dits.
No. Yuri isn't a dit. She's actually smart, but Momoko is the dit.
Oh, Momoko is the dit.
Momoko is the
okay,
dit.
So the Yuri is the well-to-do one. Okay.
Yes.
And then
Inagaku is the tomboy.
Okay. I'm with you now.
And they've been friends for a very long time. They've always played together. Their moms were all friends, supposedly.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everything seems to, you know, be okay. And then we meet the bad guy. And her name is Rain Devila. And she is the queen of the devils. You know, so you know she's probably hanging out in some area, you know, kind of like hell, but not necessarily hell.
Uh-huh.
You know, and Rain Devila is kind of like those angels, you know, angels. Angels promote love. Uh-huh. So, you know, and the devil's like, nah, we can't be having that. You know, the angels, they want love all the time. I don't want it. Love is stupid. You know, and obviously, because she's saying this, you understand that there's probably a reason why.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, she was left alone on prom night.
Yeah.
Might be a little bitter.
Just a tad.
So
being
she decides.
Being ditched on prom night will do that. I'm sorry.
So, you know, Rain Devila gets this, you know, plan to go, okay, well, I'm going to whip those angels' bums by stealing their most powerful weapon. Called the Saint Something Four. Now, for all of our listeners who have ever entered into the Holy Sacrament, which is marriage,
aww,
might know about the Something Four. You know, it's that little ditty that we all hear. You know, that something borrowed, something blue, something old, and something new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what, you know, if a bride attains these four things before her wedding.
By the way, the order is old, new, borrow, blue.
Well,
just, you know, want to throw that
out. I'm going off of the way that these objects appeared in the series.
Ah.
I don't know why they did it in that order, but they did.
Okay.
And, you know, and she, you know, she knows that three of the four of the things had been scattered to Earth. So she sends some devils down to Earth to say, well, go find the Saint Something Four, and, you know, try to get rid of as much love as you can, you know, because I don't like it, and you're devils, you guys shouldn't like it, you know, and, you know, if you see any angels, you know, kill them too.
Oh, so, well, simple, you know.
Right, and of course, you know, this kind of has that Sailor Moon-esque.
Oh, no.
Yes. Ugh. Actually, it's from the creators of Sailor Moon and Utena.
Oh, God.
So, ugh, you know, you get that reluctant, you know,
hero
is going home one day, you know, and she's attacked because she has this powerful love wave. No, so
I have a powerful devil, love wave too.
And the devils pick up on it and they attack her. And then, you know, it's really funny because, you know, when I start thinking about it, the layout of Wedding Peach is pretty much similar to Sailor Moon. So because every time Momoko gets attacked. There's this scene that happens in every episode. And you look up and you see this yellow sky, and then you see these stairs. And then you see this long, and at first you think it's a woman who's walking down these stairs. And it's not. It's this man. And his name is Lamone.
Okay.
You know, and he's like, oh, I'm a battle angel from heaven. Aphrodite has sent me to help you. You know, and he saves her, and he explains to her, you know, Momoko, you are a love angel. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? And he goes, your ancestors were angels who protected the love on Earth. And your mother's ring has a very powerful love wave from it. So you have to transform and fight for love. You know, and of course, you know, she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. This is my mama's ring. You know, it has no power. My dad gave it to her when they got married. So she thinks.
Oh.
You know, and of course, he's like, well, if you're not going to listen to me, then, you know, Aphrodite, you tell her. You know, and then Aphrodite's like, yes, I'm the great and powerful Aphrodite.
Okay, all right, so I get it.
What he says is true.
Yeah, all right.
So then she's got to go, and she's like, I have to battle by myself. And they're like, no, there are other ones that will appear to you. And you find out that her two friends are also love angels.
Oh, gee, and what a coincidence.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, and when Momoko transforms, she becomes Wedding Peach, because when they first transform, they transform into wedding dresses, but then from the wedding dress, they have to transform to their battle angel mode.
Double transformation! Super cute!
Yes. Though I have to admit, Wedding Peach's dress is really ugly. But anyway, I didn't draw it.
Super kawaii!
Kawaii! Anyway. So, you know, she figures out that her two friends are also love angels. And they each have a piece of jewelry that is like their magic Sailor Moon wand, if you can remember that.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So you have the super cute girl transformation. You have the really bad voiceovers, the really corny music, except for the second season's opening. I like it. It's kind of, you know, gothic-esque with like...
Well, when I think of weddings, I think of gothic music. For some reason, I think it's very telling of my age. Whenever I think of weddings, for some reason, I get that Billy Idol song, White Wedding, in my head.
I don't think I've heard that.
Oh, God. Dang it, I'm old.
No, you're just older than me.
Yeah.
Well, and a bunch of other people. But there's a lot of people.
You know what? Let's just move on, okay?
That's another podcast.
Let me ask you this. What is it about this series that you like so much that you actually purchased
it? I went and got it?
Yeah.
Well, I like love, and I have this weird fascination with marriage for some strange reason. I've not entered into it yet, obviously, so I kind of like try to examine it, like poking it with a stick.
Is it dead yet?
You know, like, what's this do? You know, and, you know, early, you know, I'd watch it early mornings and be like, well, this isn't so bad. You know, and when you overlook the voiceovers and stuff like that, I was like, this isn't so bad. And then, The Saving Grace, which I'm going to tell you. If you've ever watched Rurouni Kenshin, which I'm sure you have, or you've heard me speak of it. Yes?
Yes.
The guy who plays Sanosuke.
Oh.
You know that big
manly
voice? Yeah, that guy with the giant sword that he can only swing sideways.
Yeah.
Who's got bad on the written on his
back. Yeah.
That voice actor plays the leading man
in this series. All right, I'm in.
So you can overlook Momoko's squeaky voice for his sexy man voice.
Yeah, I'll just mute it until it gets to his character.
Yes. So, you know... So, these three girls are love angels, and they go off, and they fight against one devil named Plui, who, you know, they beat, and he kind of just goes away, but he has this little demon called Jamapee,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, when Plui gets defeated, him and Jamapee get thrown out of the hell world and whatever.
Okay.
You know, and then Jamapee's like, well, I'm going to defeat the love angels. You know, and he's this cute, round, you know, he doesn't look evil at all. you know, but at the end, he ends up switching and becoming, like, the mascot for the Love Angels, you know, and then, you know, because he had on horns and stuff when he was working with Pluie, but when he becomes good, they turn into hearts.
Oh.
You know, it's cute. He's cute.
Okay.
And he's got a really cute voice. But anyway.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Possibly one of the reasons why you like it so much, especially since you were watching it early morning, that it kind of reminded you of watching your Saturday morning cartoons. Because it sounds a lot like a lot of the silly, fun stuff we used to watch. Saturday mornings.
Yeah, I think so. It really does kind of have that home feel, like it's something you've probably watched before, but maybe forgot because you got older.
Okay.
So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, and, I mean, it teaches you some good lessons. I mean, it's not like at the end of Sailor Moon where it was like Sailor Moon says, you know, you should take out your trash because that will help your parents. But, I mean, you know, at the end of it, you know, Momoko would be like, you know what, friends are really important and I'm so glad I have them in my life. You know, there was always some vital lesson that eventually,
like,
someone would say.
Like the G.I. Joe stuff where it's like, if you're in a house that's on fire, test the knob. If it's hot, get down, go to the nearest window, and get out. And now you know. And knowing's half the battle.
G.I. Joe, don't sue us.
Yeah, don't sue us.
Damn,
yeah, I miss G.I. Joe.
I think so. I think that was a thing about it. Not to mention...
Because I can see you smiling as you're talking about it.
Yeah, because I like love stuff, though. Which I, like, try to emphasize within every podcast that we do. But, yeah.
Because love
anyway,
is good. Love is fun.
Let me get back to it.
It tickles
you. So, yeah, it does. But, you know, so these three girls are going off, you know. And they find out through Aphrodite that each one of their pieces of jewelry that helps them transform is actually part of the Saint Something Four. But we have three angels and three of the Saint Something, but we don't have the fourth one. I wonder why.
Let me guess.
Yeah, guess.
I'm going to guess that the Queen of the Devils over there, she's got the other one, right?
Nope.
Damn.
Mm-mm. There's a fourth love angel.
Yeah.
And she's got it. Or actually, no, I have to stand corrected. The fourth love angel will acquire it. But they don't know who the fourth love angel is. And at this point, they meet this really bitchy girl who's like, I fight for the people I love and da-da-da-da-da, you know, like, really kind of like, she kind of reminded me of Rey from Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was just that kind of bitch.
Right.
You know, so, you know, they find her and they're like, there's no way that Sylvia could be the fourth love angel because she's so mean and, you know, but you understand that she's not mean and that she does, you know, they all kind of represent a different kind of love.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've got, you know, Momoko who, you know, they actually, all of them have fallen in love with someone.
Right.
And when you find out who that someone is, it kind of shows what kind of love that they're supposed to embody.
Okay.
You know, like, Hinakaku, who is, Saint Daisy, you know, she's the green one. She's got green hair if you ever look at the pictures.
Okay.
And she's the tomboy. And she has this best friend that she's had ever since she was little, and he's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a wuss, but he's really smart. You know, and they've always just been close. You know, some people are always like, well, how close are they?
Right.
But she was all like, no, he's just my friend. But you know that there's a deeper connection there, but they're just not ready to explore it yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then you've got Yuri, who you find out her ancestor got with Lamone.
Mm.
And Lamone keeps dying, and so does Yuri. So they can never, you know, come full circle until now. Because, you know, there's one episode where, you know, Lamone is talking to them, you know, and she does this move, that of the angel that he fell in love with so many eon ago.
Right.
Oh my god, you must be the reincarnation of, I can't remember her name because it was like long.
Right.
You know, and he's like, you must feel it, the love wave, it's so intense, you know, and, you know, some of this stuff can definitely be taken out of context, you know, because, you know, my love wave.
Feel my love wave, it's intense and throbbing. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. That was,
you know,
wrong.
You could twist it that way if you wanted to. You know, so, you know, and eventually all these memories flood back and she's like, oh my god, Lamone, you're right. and you actually find out that Lamone is actually a boy at their school. He's, like, trapped inside of a boy's body. So he always tends to show up at the right moment, and it's really funny
because he's kind of like a boy. Just like Darian!
That's like. But the thing is, the boy, his alter ego doesn't know that Lamone, he is Lamone. He doesn't know.
Yep.
So when he changes, he has no idea.
So Scotty doesn't know?
Scotty doesn't know. You know, and the boy that Lamone, like, takes over is, like, the most popular hot soccer player at school.
Uh-huh.
And, like, all the girls want him. You know, and...
All the girls want Lamone.
Yeah. You know, and Yuri figures it out that the most popular boy is Lamone, though he doesn't know.
Okay.
And she's like, well, I need to tell him, you know, and she's like, so that we can be together, you know, and she tells him and he doesn't believe her, you know, and he actually kind of gets hit in the head and, like, loses his Lamone memories. Well, in a sense, he gets, like, he goes through,
okay,
like, Angel, all right, amnesia.
Okay, it's getting really deep. You know, Angel, yeah, amnesia, you know, for a saccharin.
Yeah, but, I mean, because it's all upbeat. The tempo is upbeat, and it's very uplifting.
Okay.
But, like, I'm trying to get back to it. So, you know, you've got that long-lost love,
right,
through Yuri. You see that through her. You see the friendship love through Hinakaku.
Right.
And then you kind of wonder what kind of love is, you know, with Salvia, who's the love angel I'm telling you that they meet later on.
Right.
You know, and she's that powerful, that love that, you know, you would do just about anything for.
Undying.
Yeah. You know, and you actually find out that her angel was a battle angel, and she battled on the fields of heaven with this other girl. You know, that she kind of looked after Alon, uh-huh, like a sister, and that angel ended up dying. So Salvia promised that she would always, you know, use her powers to, you know, to repel all evil, because evil wants to get rid of love. So you see that aspect through Salvia, you know, and you find out sexy man voice guy,
yes,
is a devil.
Oh.
And it really kind of sucks. He's half devil because his dad was a devil, but he did a little makey makey with a human.
Oh.
So he's half devil, half human. But his father disappears, so the father never gets a chance to tell his son, hey, you're, like, you know, half devil, you know, and he doesn't know. So when he finds
out. Again, Scotty doesn't know.
Yeah, this guy, yeah, he doesn't know. You know, and at first, you know, this character and Momoko, like, totally come off like they hate each other. But you know, as the outside, you know that's not the case.
Right.
You know, you see it, everyone else around them sees it, and the only ones who don't see it are them. And, you know, at this point, they're really starting to come together, and you think they're going to get together, and then, you know, he finds out that he's half-devil, and that devils fight angels. So he starts pushing Momoko away, and he's like, we can't be together, and you know why, you know, and she's like, I don't care what other people say, I don't care what the rule books say, I love you. You know, and, like, you know, but angels and devils aren't supposed to love each other.
It's like, you know, cats, so, and it, dogs living together, man.
Yeah. So, you know, and throughout this whole thing, you know, Rain Devla finds out that, you know, this half-breed devil is living on Earth, and that Momoko, the leader of the love angels, who can summon the saint something for, loves him, so she decides to try to use him against Momoko. And you think it's going to happen. That, you know, and it looks like at one point Rain Devil is going to win, but then
Don't give it all away.
They show Rain Devil's past, and that's all I'm going to say. All
right.
The ending is really corny, but it's that happy corny that makes you go, man, I love love. Now I'm going to go take a poop. That's what it's like. It really is.
It's a relieving kind of corny.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It relieves your soul.
And your bowels?
And, well, depending on if you ate before you watched it, yeah.
I can't believe you said that.
Well, it's true.
All right.
I couldn't think of anything. Would you rather...
No. Don't even go there.
All right.
Because I know where your mind goes next. After the poop, yeah. I know where your mind goes.
But regardless, I mean, if you're not the saccharine type, if you don't like the big eyes, if you don't like the high squeaky voice, which was actually one of the big downers of this series, I would probably watch it in, you know, subbed versus dubbed.
Okay.
First and foremost. I would probably have to give this, if I was going to give it a rating, which, you know, I probably will, I'd probably say it's a 3.
Okay.
It's not cuckapoople.
3 out of 5?
3 out of 5.
Okay.
It's not, you know, cuckapoople.
Right.
But it's not God's gift to anime either.
Okay. That's good to know.
But I liked it. I'm sure if you could deal with, you know, the dubbed voice and the overlying recurrences between it and Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
I think you'll find it enjoyable. And that's my personal opinion. And don't be a punk-ass bitch because I thought of it before you. And that's all I've got for you guys today. And now I'm going to pass it back to Ninja, who's going to flip it one time for your mind.
Yeah.
Ninja.
2 times! No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Just one.
3 times! 4! I'm in a silly mood, guys. I'm sorry.
No, she's not. She's tipsy. Don't lie. Don't lie to the people. You're not in a silly mood. You're tipsy.
Well, I am in a silly mood, which has been prompted by the tipsiness.
Yeah. Alright. That's better. I'll accept that. Alright. Since it's my turn, we got a couple of news bits about Sony and Nintendo, and then I'm actually going to jump up off of Sony's jock for a bit. I know, that's huge for me.
Dun, dun, dun!
As we talked about in a few podcasts, especially the last podcast, I kind of said that, you know, I didn't think that Sony was going to ship all the units that they swore up and down they were going to ship.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, this week news comes out and confirms that. Sony kind of...
So you were right.
I was right. As,
when aren't you right?
You know, Stephen Colbert would say, I called it.
You called it.
Along with a bunch of other people, obviously. Because I was getting my information, you know, from a coagulation of their information. But my numbers were a lot more... closer to what Sony actually said they were going to do. They're having laser.
Owned.
Yeah.
Pawned.
Yeah, I pawned it. They're having laser issues.
Of course. They had laser issues with the PlayStation 2.
That's right. They're having laser issues with the PlayStation 3. And so now they're saying that they probably aren't going to be able to have more than maybe 400,000 units between launch and the end of the year. But they will have the 2 million by March of 2000 and...
Oh, wow.
You know. But, you know, well... The other thing that they said was, hey, at least you guys are getting them. We had to push back the launch date in Europe. Europe's not even going to get them on November 17th. They've got to wait till March 2007.
I would want to piss off some Europeans.
Yeah, the Europeans aren't going to be able to get their hands on one until March of 2007. That's March. I don't know about you, but that's a little bit off from the holiday shopping season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think you do. I think you feel me on that.
Yes, I do. Feel.
Yeah. No, don't feel me there.
Feeling on your...
No, don't. Please, Jesus, don't.
I stopped.
Moving on. The other little bit of news. If you'd been by the website last week, you obviously saw a post that I wrote about... basically getting boned by joystick.com.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
Sorry. No, I'm not.
But I, like a whole lot of people, got caught up in there. We've got some big news, but we can't post it until like midnight tomorrow night. So, you know, just come back. But we can't tell you anymore, but come back. So my dumbass stays up late because, you know, I like to get my beauty sleep.
You need it.
Bite me.
Oh, burn.
Have another drink,
sorry.
You lush. so I stay up late so I can read this news so that I can, you know, put together a quick response for the ESH loyal. I stay up so they don't have to.
Right.
And what is the news? It's news that I already knew. It's news that Kotaku.com had already put out there. Now, it was big news. The news was that IBM had been making chips for Nintendo and delivering chips for Nintendo since July of this year.
Right.
Okay. So, it's very possible, knowing this, that the announcement, you know, the big dealy that Nintendo's having next week on the 14th, isn't going to be just about pricing for the Wii, but could possibly be a launch date for the damn thing. Because they've had the chips in order to be making the units since July. Because, you know, Nintendo hasn't said anything about when it was producing stuff or anything.
Right.
So it's very possible that they could have a launch date any day now.
Right.
So, yeah, that's big news. But it was already up on Kotaku. I could have been in bed. So I was pissed off. So I wrote about it. Like, here it goes. No. You can read on the website. But anyway, that's the quick news, is that while the PS3 launch is going to be worse than the Xbox 360 launch, because they're not going to have enough units, the Nintendo launch could be great, because they might actually have the amount of units that they said they would for the shopping season, which I believe, last time I checked, was somewhere close to 4 million units.
Right.
Which means you'd be able to find yourself a Wii for Christmas. Maybe two.
Ooh.
As opposed to, like, you know, having to talk to somebody who knows some things that fell off a truck.
Oops.
In order to get a PS3 that might boot and have a decent laser for Christmas. So anyway, those are the quick news things. Now on to my main item of choice. Mm-hmm. Oh, please tell me that your phone just went off.
Yeah, it did the wiggly.
Priceless. Moving on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No more drinky for you.
I put the rest of it on quiet and vibrate. Just the button didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Earlier this week, I was trying to get some time together to actually play some video games, because I've been kind of busy with the website
too.
And other stuff. And as I was doing it, I had a moment where I asked myself a question, and I've been asking myself this question more and more over the past year, and so I thought that I would actually bring it up and talk to you and let the ESH loyal, awesome, kick-ass people in on the conversation.
Right.
And the question,
what's the question?
Is, has pleasure become work?
Well, pleasure is work.
Well, no, ha-ha.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, bring it back in, okay? Focus.
Okay.
Focus.
Okay, game face.
Is playing video games fun, or has it become a part-time job? Now, think about that for a second.
Because okay, the reason
why,
on that.
Yeah, chew on that. Because the reason why I ask that is, think about all the games that are being advertised and being hyped up because of the amount of hours that they estimate it's going to take you to get through. You know, that's become like a selling point for games now. If you get EverQuest, we guarantee that there's over, you know, 300 hours of gameplay. All new elements, and then don't even mention the expansion pack.
Right.
Come on, focus. Stay with me, Panda.
I said expansion. I said expansion. I was following.
Okay. But the thing that made me ask myself this question again was, I was playing 99 Nights, which I've talked about before on the podcast and on the website.
With the half-brother and sister, or step-brother
and
sister.
Yes, Asfar. Yeah. You remember my Asfar. Yes. And I was playing it, trying to get past this one level that I've basically been stuck on now. It seems like forever.
Right.
And, you know, it feels like forever is a mighty, mighty long time.
Well, it is.
The question popped into my head, and I couldn't ignore it. And I asked myself, you know, as I was getting frustrated more and more at this game and spending, I think, probably 3 hours trying to get past this level on this one time, right now, in this specific moment, am I having fun?
Were you?
And, you know, I stopped myself, and I try to be, you know, observant of how I was at the time. I wasn't smiling. My hand was sore because I was clenching my controller so hard and had been for a long time. I was uncomfortable in the way I was sitting because I was on edge because I was pissed that I couldn't get past this one boss on the same, and it wasn't even the final boss, it was a sub boss on the same level. My knuckles hurt because I play most of my games overhand because of the surgery that I had on my wrist. It makes it very difficult for me to play any game successfully that's, you know, not an action title, basically, where I'm only having to hit one action button at a time.
Right.
Every other game I have to play overhand, otherwise I can't play it at all. So it also makes my knuckles very uncomfortable. I end up having to crack them all the time, and it's just unsightly. And I sat there and I thought to myself, really, right now, in this moment, Ninja, are you having fun? And I kind of let it go for a moment and went back to the game and thought, well, I'll try it one more time and see if I can get past this thing. And, you know, after I died, I turned the game off and I went over to the computer to go and update my MySpace page because I figured I should have some fun. And I'm going to throw, like, you know, a shameless MySpace plug out there because I am currently pimping myself out for friends. So if you have a MySpace profile, you can go to myspace.com/ninjasista and add me because I love new people. But I just wanted to go over and do something that was fun and get my mind off the fact that I wasn't having fun. You know, I was just so pissed off at dying in this game at the same point every single time that it sucked all the fun that I had been having with the game up until that point away. Like, it never happened. And I started thinking about other games that I've had this same feeling with. You know, it was the reason why, you know, in conversations that we've had before, that I told you that I stopped playing Final Fantasy games and games like that, is because I got pushed to the edge with never really feeling accomplished in a game because I never got, you know, 100% cleared on levels, and I wasn't finding all of the items or all the unlockable characters or costumes, and there was always something else that I was supposed to do, and without having a guide and following it to the letter, I never would have found them. And so I stopped playing the Final Fantasy games and games like that, and that's when I started getting fixated on the fighters, because at least with the fighters, you feel accomplished. If you finish story mode, you get the end movie, and boom, you know, you're done. You've completed that for the most part. I ended up feeling really drained, you know, because it took me, honestly, probably at least 200 hours of invested time to finally beat Kingdom Hearts 2.
Right. Oh, Kingdom Hearts 2.
Okay. And in that 200 hours that I spent, I didn't get 100% cleared. I didn't even get close to it. I didn't have all the keyblades. I didn't have all the items. I didn't have everything built up to its utmost. And even after beating it and getting to watch the ending movie that I got, which, by the way, this was only beating it on the lower level, so I didn't beat it on the absolute difficult level. So I didn't get the full ending.
Right.
I felt emotionally drained. When all was said and done, like, I wasn't happy. I didn't feel like I had really accomplished anything great. I was just glad it was over.
Oh.
And I realized, I know, but what was really sad was that I realized I, you know, I'd spent over 200 hours working on this game, and that's when it clicked for me that I was working at the game. I wasn't playing the game. I was going through the guide. I was following all of its specific things until I got too tired of having to make cheat sheet notes on the pages of the guide to remind myself what I was supposed to do very quickly. And so I realized that I was spending more time working on Kingdom Hearts 2 to complete it than I was spending actually working on my part-time job.
Wow.
Yeah, and
if it makes you feel any better, I only got 98% complete.
I didn't even get that. I only got like an 89% complete. It was like 87, I think. 87 or 89. I was so disgusted with it. I didn't want to look at it. When I was done, I just wanted to turn it off, and I was just like, but it really got me thinking about all the games that I had played from way, 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 way back in my television playing days all the way up until now. And I was trying to focus on games that I remembered I had fun playing. You know,
like Amplitude?
Even before that, which I have fun. Mario Brothers, before that Burger Time, before that Galaga, before that Zaxxon.
What about Pong?
I always sucked at Pong, but I always had a great time playing Pong. Because I was always playing against somebody. And that's always fun. But the more that I would think about those games, the more I realized that those things were fun, and I found myself smiling as, you know, I was thinking about it. Like, even now, when I start talking to somebody about video games, one of the things that I'll do is I'll work in a reference to Burger Time to see if there's a recognition point. And if they go, oh my god, I remember Burger Time and those stupid shaking sausages. I hated those sausages. I always feel like I found a kindred spirit, and I immediately start smiling, and we have a great, fun conversation and talk about how much fun we had playing a game where basically we were just walking up ladders and across levels trying to put together a burger. It sounds so stupid, but it was so much fun, and, you know, I find myself at a point where I'm examining, you know, games like, for instance, if I got addicted to the Sims games, or Evercrack, or the game that shall remain nameless.
Wow.
I said remain nameless. That I would be spending much more time tending to the needs, the hygienic needs, for instance, of my Sims character, or worrying about how I was going to build my character up in skills so that they could swim, so I could get to like another island, so that I could get more skills while I was there, so I could transform into another form, or, you know, some shit like that. And I would be spending more time on these, you know, second lives of these characters, and invested more in the time and effort into building those up than my actual life. And I'm not, and I don't even want to talk about the game Second Life, because if I had gotten into that, we wouldn't have a website or a podcast right now. Because
then I take it you don't want me to address this question, since
no, and it's one of the reasons why I brought it up, because I know for a fact that, you know,
that I have one of these other lives.
And you know, how much time do you devote right now to WoW?
Well, I just started school, so hardly any. I tried to bring my setup with me to school today, but I didn't even have the time to set it up. But don't tell Mom. Anyway.
She hasn't listened to the podcast, so I think you're safe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I keep hearing the intro every other morning. Well, I think she does. But anyway.
No, you want to know what it is? She's going to my MySpace.
Oh, okay. Because I hear it. So I'm always like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Anyway, to address your question, I've been addicted to the Sim game. I own a Sim game on the home computer, which I don't play very much since I've progressed.
Right.
And with the Sims game, It really was like a second life. Like, I mean, you told your Sim when it went to bed, and you set up a list of all the things it had to do. So, you know, I would have it set up so that it would wake up at 5 in the morning, it would take a shower, and one of them, out of the two, because I always put two in a house, you know, boy and a girl, and the boy would always cook breakfast, and the woman would wake up later and take her bath, in her, like, jacuzzi tub. And, like, breakfast would be ready by the time she got downstairs before her job came to get her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, yeah, I usually model them after myself.
Uh-huh.
Or at least the girls, anyway.
Right.
But you know, outside sources, you know, the parentals, you know, would comment and be like, you know, you've been at that computer for this long. I'm not going to say how long, because then you guys will realize just how much of a game dork I actually am. You know, and I'd be like, oh, really? Like, you don't think about real time, because the time that you're focusing on is that time.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, when I progressed, like, I went into Diablo, which, once again, I was obsessed with. I actually don't play that at all anymore, much like Sims, because with progression, you always move on to something else. And the love of my life right now, wow.
Yeah.
During the summer, as Ninja would know.
Oh, yeah, I can attest.
There wasn't...
Every waking moment was spent...
either discussing WoW, setting up to play WoW, or talking, discussing, setting up, and playing WoW.
Exactly.
So,
I swear that if you could have, like, mounted your external drive to your body, you would have taken your setup with you when you went to pee.
Actually, if we had... No, I'm just kidding. Actually, no, I'm probably not.
No, you're not.
If there was outlets in the bathroom...
If you had an external drive, like my music drive, you would have taken it with you.
Probably.
Yeah.
The whole concept of the second life really does, with certain people, with certain kinds of people, is very addicting. You know, I'm your average girl. I go to school. I have a job. You know, I have friends. This is cool.
I know. You blow them off to play WoW. Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually.
That's just family.
I know you're bitter, but let's move on.
Okay.
You know, why ask this question if you're going to get bitter with me?
No, I'm just being funny. You know I'm over it. But really, you know, I think about the amount of time that you're spending playing WoW, and I know that you're enjoying the game, which is why you're devoting the time that you're spending on it.
It's really funny, because it's not actually the game.
It's the interaction with the community.
Because I was playing Diablo. Well, you know, I might have met maybe one other person and maybe played the whole game through with one person
mm-hmm.
within a night. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the game... Diablo is not that long of a game if you play it through.
Right.
But with MMORPGs, massive...
multiplayer online role-playing games. Yeah.
Yes. You know, if you're lucky enough and you hit people who you have interests with, you know, first when I jumped into the guild, and I know you don't like talking about this, but to emphasize the point...
We can talk about your guild, because I think that the community-building aspects of the games are really great. I think that that's the part that's addictive, that it's not so much the game and the gameplay. It's being able to share a similar, you know, interest or a joined activity with a community.
I mean,
so I get that part.
Oh, it is. That's what's really addicting, Ninja. I mean, when I first got the trial, for the first week that I played, I wasn't in a guild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was just playing with myself. You know, I was like, oh, well, this is kind of interesting. I think I kind of understand how that works. And then I got invited to a guild. No one on WoW really knew me except for my one friend from college. He was hardly on because he was working a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was like, who's inviting me? Why would they want me? You know, like, I'm new. You know, but I say okay, and I let them know. I'm like, hey, I'm totally new to this game, so I hope you're not expecting anything great from me, because I'm new. You know, and they're like, oh, no, we're really casual and all that. And I was like, oh, all right. You know, and I have a client on my computer that, you know, allows me to talk to.
Right.
Other people who are from the guild. So not only was I playing with these characters, but I was playing with...
I know, you're building up relationships with people, because you're not just, you know, your player character and that's it. You are actually you, and the game is just a means for you to actually meet other people that have a shared interest.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that part, and I think that that's great. That's not what I'm knocking about it, because I think that the community building aspect thing is a great thing to have in games. Because let's face it, you know, you can't always get people over to your house to have, you know, a game night. It's really difficult with people working and people's schedules.
And there you go and you log in and there's
Your friends. Yeah. And I get that, and I think that that's...
It's like Cheers, because everyone knows your name.
Yeah. Well, don't sue us.
Yeah.
But my thing is, and this is where my thought...
I question yet.
I know, but you have in a way, so... But my thing is, and what I ended up coming back to was, at what point did the extended length of completion time and item scavenger hunting... basically, replace fun in the list of things that developers believe that gamers or players want?
Well, I mean, I think in that aspect, you know, you're right. I mean, a lot of people, you know, when you first get the game, and I can use Kingdom Hearts as the expression because I was obsessed with that also. Mm-hmm. Like, I was driven to beat this game. You know, and when I first got it, you know, that opening sequence I absolutely loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it was great.
And it draws you in, you know, and, you know, first time I just wanted to play it through so I got the idea of how the gameplay was. And then I went back and started doing all, but you know, now that I think about it, since I beat the game,
mm-hmm.
when I went back to go get it all completed, I was like, forget it. I don't need to because I'm satisfied with the fact that I completed the game. Period.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but yeah,
I was never taken over by that whole work mentality with console games.
Right.
Now, with the WoW thing, you know, like I said, I'm in a guild, and actually I progressed to a point where, you know, in this, you know, community, I'm kind of looked at as an admin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have some clout. You know, when things are going wrong in the guild, people come to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gives me that sense of importance.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that job aspect feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've gotten to a point, you know, and I hate to admit this because this lets me know just how much of a problem I actually have. I had gone, because we were a medium-sized guild. We weren't as big as we needed to be able to run endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're at the levels to do it anyway, but we were thinking ahead. You know, and I went out of my way, you know, and was looking for, you know, recruiting to pull people in.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually bumped into another girl, because yes, there are girls who play WoW, a lot more than we like to admit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and she was doing the exact same thing I was doing. And I said, if your guild's looking for people, and my guild's looking for people, why don't we do an alliance? And she's like, well, I'm not the leader, but I'll throw it back at my leader. And I said, and I'll throw it back at mine. And for 2 weeks, you know, outside of, you know, mind you, this is during the summer, so I didn't have the school thing going on.
You were brokering a guild alliance?
Yeah, and I was, and I was sitting there, and I was talking with our guild leader, and I was talking to that guild leader, and I was setting up meetings through the TeamSpeak, the client in which I talked to other people mm-hmm. from the game on, you know, like a job. Like, I set up these meetings, I said, okay, we're going to meet at 7:30 game time.
Which like an administrative assistant.
Yeah, and I actually was taking on that kind of persona,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when I log into WoW, into my character, you know, I'm not Pandalicious anymore. I'm Suji.
Right.
You know, and I'm a co-leader. So if people are like, oh, Suji, I don't know how to do this. You know, and then I go, okay, well, I'll come there and I'll help you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when I log back out, I'm Panda again. Which is, you know, Suji and Panda are kind of the same person anyway.
Right. But Suji has different responsibilities.
Yes, than Panda does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's another aspect that makes that type of gaming so addicting. You know, if you get into that aspect where, you know, you start developing that kind of clout,
mm-hmm.
and it's blind clout, none of us have actually met.
And I don't even think that it's just the clout thing. I think it's being in a community where you start developing, you know, authority roles, responsibilities, and it just takes the interaction to another level.
Yeah.
And it makes it feel more real world, because in the real world, you know, if you're in a group that large and you have a set goal or set tasks, you've got to assign, you know, people to get information to people. You've got to recruit. You've got to do all these things that you're talking about. So I think that the community building thing is a positive thing. That's not, you know, again, what my point was. What I was getting back to was, you know, that list of why or how developers got the idea that, you know, just having a game that they promote is going to take, you know, over 80 hours or 120 hours of their, you know, quote-unquote hardcore gamer hours of play to get through it became a selling point. When did that become something that gamers oh my God, that's the thing. I mean, like when did it become, like, if you watch G4 nowadays?
I don't.
Okay. Because the only thing that I tune in to G4 for occasionally is X-Play, because I do like to actually see game reviews, and I kind of tune out some of the bad comedy bits, because when they actually start talking about the game, I can actually see gameplay and base my own opinion on whether or not I think that game is good. But if you watch it, or you read anything like OPM or OXM or any, you know, game reviewing magazine, one of the first negative things that they'll say about a game is, but it came in on the short side because it's only, you know, 20 hours. And if you really sit down and have a, you know, a mash fest, you can break it through it in 7 hours. Well, when did that become a diss? Why is it bad to be able to get through a game in 20 hours?
I think what the programmers are thinking of, you know, is, you know, like, if you get a game that's a multiplayer game, whereas, you know, you could have 3 or 4 different people, you know, who can play it,
mm-hmm.
you know, you kind of get that competitive feeling, you know, where it's like, oh, man, well, I could beat you with this. Oh, yeah, well, I beat it with this.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, you get that competitive edge where it's like, oh, yeah, well, you might have cleared it on easy, but I cleared it in hell and got 100. It's a competition.
Right, and I get that
it's
bragging thing.
Of the chess,
I mean, because we did that chess thing back and forth on Devil May Cry.
We kind of did the puffing of the chess during Amplitude.
Well, yeah, we did that too. But
that's... you're always going to have that competitive edge.
Yeah, any kind of gaming brings the competitive edge. What I'm talking about...
Weedle work.
Right.
Or something that's going to be meticulous into that, when people are already going to be in that whole, oh, I just want to beat people.
Right. Then. See, the point that I'm trying to get at is, you know, if a game is good and it's fun, okay,
it shouldn't matter how long or short it is.
Okay.
Right.
Because
I totally understand.
For a lot of us, you know, I mean, with you're in school, okay, I've got a part-time job, trying to get the full-time job, ESH going on. I can't devote 40 hours a week for 3 weeks, 4 weeks on end. Sometimes I can only play for 45 minutes and then I got shit to do. And a game that's going to take me 80 hours to get through, if I'm only doing it at 45 minutes at a time, I'm going to get real tired of that game real quick.
Real quickly.
Very, very quickly. And so for me, as long as the game is solid, if there's a good story and a character that I can identify with, I don't care that it only takes 20 hours. That just says to me that I'm going to be able to do something that I really like to do with games that I like, which is just play it over and over again because it's fun. Because I enjoy playing it. Not because I've got 5 more items I need to find in order to unlock the orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, okay. I understand.
I mean, because I enjoyed the Tomb Raider Legends game. I thought that it really went back to the Tomb Raider games that I love, which were 1 and 2, and the reasons why I love 1 and 2. But the thing that I hated about the game was that I had to keep going back level by level, and I actually had to find a walkthrough in order to find all the little tokens so I could unlock the costumes. And I still haven't unlocked all the costumes. And I found myself playing it through for about the 6th time because I really enjoyed the game. I really enjoyed the gameplay. But I was playing it through because I was trying to get these tokens so I could get the outfits. And I'm thinking, why am I doing this? It's only going to allow me to
put... Why does it matter if she's wearing blue jeans or black pants?
Exactly. Why am I trying so hard to get the orange snowsuit with no jacket?
I don't know. Why?
Yeah. I didn't have an answer for it, so I stopped playing the game, and I sent it back to Gamefly, you know, I mean, and then I started thinking, okay, I think that this subject that I'm touching on, the questions that I keep asking, I think that it's the reason why games like Katamari Damacy and Loco Roco and Viva Pinata and games like Luminous are as popular as they are right now, and people are looking for, because they just look like plain, unadulterated fun. Okay?
Nothing says fun like rolling around on the earth and just grabbing stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the comedy that is in Katamari Damacy is just so funny. It's just, the game is just so off the wall, and the comments that the King of the Universe makes are just so damn funny. But it also is a fun game because you have to, you know, work up your mass so that you can build bigger items into your ball. You know, you can't get the big items until you've made your ball a big item, and, you know, you've got a time restraint, and so it's fun. It is challenging. But at the same time, I'm not having to go through a level and find a panel that's dimly lit in order to, you know, go into the puzzle room.
That will change the King's crown to a duck.
Yeah, you know, and it just lets me pick up the game and have fun. And if I have to put it down and I can't come back to it for a week, it's no big deal. I'm not going to be that far behind.
Right.
And I think that we need more games like that. I think that we need to get away from the fact that, okay, we get it. The technology is so advanced and it's so powerful that you can make a very dense, you know, never-ending, always expanding playing field. And you can make characters that have millions upon millions of polys so they look like real people. And when I interact with an object, it actually interacts like it would if it was actually physically in front of me in real life. I get that the technology is there, but just because you have the ability to make this dense, immense world doesn't mean that you need to do it.
Right.
Okay, and I don't think that it's just me being nostalgic for, you know, those 8-bit and 16-bit days, but, I mean, look at what's popular as far as handheld gaming systems. The Nintendo DS Lite, even, is the number one selling handheld gaming unit in the U.S. And there aren't a lot of bloody gory games on it. But what's popular with it is that there are games that you can pick up and play for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever you have to play while you're sitting on the train, on the commuter, on the bus, or whatever.
But here's a game just to fuck around with so you can get home and play the meticulous, tedious
work. But it's going to be fun for that period of time that you're playing it. I mean, one of the top-selling games for that doggone thing for the longest time was Nintendogs, where you were taking care of a puppy. And raising a puppy.
Was it like a Tamagotchi?
Yes, but with puppies.
Oh.
Okay? And there are different cartridges for different breeds of puppy.
Oh.
So you can get the Shih Tzu edition and raise you a Shih Tzu.
Or the Shar Pei.
Or a Shar Pei. Or a Labrador.
Oh.
And it's craziness. But it's just fun. And I hope that, especially with the Wii getting ready to drop, that we're going to get back to, yes, you can have a game that'll, you know, if you want to spend 40 hours with and go and try and find everything you can, but I really hope that the focus is going to be on having fun, because I don't think a 20-hour or 8-hour or hell, even a 5-hour game is a bad thing. I don't think it's a diss. I think it's actually a good thing, because life is complicated enough. I don't need...
Let's not add a game to do it for, to add more stress.
Exactly, because, you know, it's the reason why I haven't installed WoW on my machine. Because I don't have the time.
Well, then don't.
To play it. Because,
but you know, even if
the moment you start it, you can't stop it.
Yeah, it's like Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop.
Okay, I mean, because once you do endgame, does it stop? Or can you continue running around?
Right now, when you hit level 60, you can no longer level.
Right.
That's when you're able to run endgame instances,
uh-huh,
which are like mazes.
Right.
To get your tier armor. So once you hit 60, you tend to start playing a lot more instances,
mm-hmm,
so that you can get your end game armor so that you can raid.
Right. Okay.
Until the expansion comes out, when they add 10 more levels of leveling,
mm-hmm,
you're kind of just playing around to get your armor.
But you can continue playing around.
Fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's no end.
Mm-hmm.
There's no end to the accomplishment.
Well, yeah.
And that's what I'm getting at. Sometimes it's good for things to have an end. Like right now. I think this podcast is toast.
I think this podcast is toast.
What are you going to do with your toast?
Actually, I should probably eat toast so I can sober up.
Yeah. You should really.
I think I'm going to put some cheese on it.
Oh.
Cheese.
That's... Ooh, you know what you could do?
Cheesy bread.
I was thinking bruschetta. Get you some tomatoes. Olive oil.
Right now.
You know, you just put that on
maybe
there.
Maybe they have already made one that I could put in the toaster.
Oh, you don't want to get already made bruschetta. You just get a little cheese.
You want to see me trying to cut up a tomato?
Yeah. You better not do that, now that I think about it. Why don't you just stick with the cheese? Well, damn, now that I started talking about bruschetta, I think I will actually make some with my toes. Because I can do that.
Yeah.
But,
I could too, but I think I'd lose a fingertip or two.
Yeah, he shouldn't do that. In any case, keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You know the rest of the business.
Yeah.
As always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out.
And we're out.